Proverbs 16:13 says, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right." If a king doesn't follow this proverb, then that king is a fool. Americans would say that King George III of Great Britain, during the time of the American Revolution, demonstrated a rejection of this proverb when he refused to listen to righteous lips and those that speaketh right, bringing about the American Revolution with the Declaration of Independence, which listed his crimes and violations of American colonists in July of 1776. But if you asked 100 people, there'd be many other kings that would be mentioned, because there's been so many throughout history that simply rejected the truth of this proverb, either knowingly or unknowingly, in so many nations. But back to England, and following the American Revolution, came the reigns of King George IV and King William IV, which were the sons of King George III. And then King George III's granddaughter, Victoria, ascended to the throne of Great Britain at the age of 18. She would rule for more than 63 years, from June 20th, 1837 to January 22nd, 1901. Because Victoria followed this proverb during most of her years as Queen of England, she became the most influential and powerful queen or monarch of the most powerful nation on earth. The years of her reign were more than half a century, and they are referred to as the Victorian Age. Victoria was what we would call today a conservative Christian. She's referred to as Lutheran in her faith, but not in the sense of belonging to the Lutheran denomination. As queen, she was the earthly head of the Anglican Church, and she took her Christian faith very seriously. We wouldn't agree with everything about it, including her being head of a church. But it's true that during her lifetime, Darwin's anti-Christian theory of macroevolution began taking root in the universities and began creeping into schools and churches, as well as into mainstream culture. But this was in spite of Victoria's rule and not because of it. Standards of morality were encouraged and required. Christianity held a favored position throughout the English Empire, upon which the sun never set. Of course, today's sodomite culture despises the Victorias of our day and in history, and they despise Queen Victoria. They try to assassinate her character by pointing out her flaws, and as a human woman, she had many, as do we all. It's true that her offspring engaged in political marriages, and that she was referred to as the grandmother of Europe as a result. And Victoria was the first in her family lineage to suffer from hemophilia, a disease in which blood doesn't clot properly, which can cause death by internal bleeding or the inability to stop external wounds. Ignoring the fact that Victoria's father was my age when she was born, and that hemophilia is a very real side effect in children fathered by men in their 50s or older, Victoria's haters have concocted a conspiracy theory claiming she was an illegitimate child of adultery between her mother and some unknown hemophiliac, even though there isn't a shred of evidence of such a thing ever happening. But drugs, especially opium and alcohol, continued to rage and ravage society, especially among the poor, during Victoria's reign. But this was a case demonstrating that morality cannot be legislated. Governments should have laws and encourage good behavior, but if the people choose to sin, there is little that can be done about it. And for Victoria's part, she followed the truth of our proverb, as probably as well as any monarch who ever lived in history. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Queen Victoria was a blessing to her subjects, even as she was a biblically submissive wife to her husband Albert until his death in 1861. After his death, she dressed in black and lived as a widow, but she continued their shared commitment to Christian ideals until her death, just as the 20th century began.